Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you glory and praise. Hallelujah. Let your spirit rest in this place, oh God. Let it touch and minister to our hearts. Let us not leave this place the same way as we came in, but let us be changed and transformed by your presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we study your word this morning, God, I pray that our hearts and minds would be changed, that be transformed and renewed by your word today, God. We would not allow ourselves to continue in the same patterns that we've been in, but God, we'd change and transform, and you would change and transform us by the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. You just continue to do a great work in us, because God, we know you're not finished with us yet, God, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for your grace and your mercy that continues to work in our hearts and our lives to change us and to make us more like you. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Man, I sent away a boy. Awesome job, worship team. Not too bad for just getting up this morning at 7:30. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory. Well, this morning I'm going to share from the word this morning. The title of my message this morning is I Want to Be Heard. I think often many of us want to be heard when we pray, don't we? We like to think that our prayers are being heard. We often, I think, judge whether our prayers are heard or not based upon our answer, if we get an answer or not. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about understanding that's not proof that you're being heard. That's not the faith that gives you the proof that resonates in your spirit that allows you to believe that God has heard your prayer because you get the answer. We'll get into today's message and talk about that. Our highest privilege is to communicate with God. It is an honor. It honors God when we believe Him. While every sense contradicts him, when we begin to believe God, when nothing seems to be going right in our lives, when all the circumstances of our lives are pointing in a different direction from the direction God that would honor God, and we continue to seek after God, we continue to struggle in different areas of our lives, but we continue to try to focus on the honor. God honors those that, and he promises to honor those that honor him. So if we'll stay with him, I want to read a scripture to you that I found very interesting as I came across it. It said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it said, "Therefore the Lord of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your fathers would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now, as I was studying this verse and I was looking at it, I was thinking, you know, this is probably the moment where God, and I'm not anti-Israel, I'm just saying, that's why I've always said, you know, and I always tell you, we are Israel, okay? Israel is not a place on a map. And so when everybody keeps saying, hey, we got to protect Israel, okay? Well, this verse right here tells me that he went to Israel themselves and said, look, you guys just are, basically, you guys, I know I said to you that you and all your generations would honor me and that you'd be with me forever. But this is what I'm saying. Because you guys can't get it together, I'm telling you that what I'm doing is I'm going to open it up to everyone else. Far be it from me to leave everyone else out that wants to honor me. So what I'm telling you is that everyone is in now. If they honor me, I will honor them. That it's everyone that I want to see in my kingdom, not just Israel. They're not, I think God is telling them, look, it's not just you anymore, it's everyone. Everyone is being grafted in, and all the work is going to be accomplished through Christ. And so when I read this, I say, okay, so God honors those that honor him. It doesn't matter, Jew, Gentile, male, female, your race, your creed, whatever you're from, as long as you're honoring God and you're going after God, he honors you. And so I think that's a wonderful promise, that God honors those that honor him. And so as we continue to seek after God, he will honor us. Psalms 91, verse 16, 14 through 16 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God honors those who honor him, those who know him, those who seek after him. God honors. He delivers them. So God, if you are honoring God, if you are seeking God, if you are in right relationship with God, God wants to lead you, wants to be in trouble with you. He wants to come into that trouble and deliver you. He wants to satisfy you with the long life. He wants to provide you with his salvation. He wants to work in your life. Now, to learn how to believe that God hears our prayers, and so today that's what we're going to talk about. How to believe that God hears our prayers, because listen, it is greater, it is much greater blessing for us to understand that God hears our prayers than it is for him to answer them. It is greater for us to know that God hears our prayers. It's a greater blessing for us to know that God hears our prayers than for him to answer them. And that's because when that happens, when you begin to understand that God hears your prayers, then the prayer of faith can be repeated over and over again, and our whole life can be spent obtaining the fulfillment of God's divine promises. We can spend our whole lives getting God's promises because we know he hears our prayers. Not because of the answer, and I'll talk about that in a little more in detail a little bit later. But I want to go to James chapter 5, starting in verse 13, and I'm going to go through there, and we're going to talk a little bit about Elijah this morning. But in James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18, it says, is anyone among you, I want to say this before we get started on this part. These are questions, not statements of fact. Okay? Oftentimes I think people think that the church is filled with people that are in, these are not statements of fact, these are questions. Okay? And I hate it when people think that these are statements of fact, that there are suffering, that there are suffering people among us. Because they're not necessarily suffering people among us. Even though if you are, it gives you the answer. But you don't have to be. Does that make sense? Because it's not a statement of fact. It's a question. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Well, there's your answer. If you're suffering, pray. Well, Pastor, I'm still suffering. Well, continue to pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. So you should be singing. If you're cheerful, I'll tell you what will keep you cheerful. Keep singing. Unless, of course, you can't sing, and then you'll have to be cheerful all by yourself, and then you'll remain cheerful. But you can just turn the music up a little louder so that no one can hear you singing. That's always good. But you should sing. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call upon the... Oh, I love that part. You know, oftentimes it's interesting to me. Listen, if you're sick, don't expect me to know. I'm just saying. If you're sick, don't expect me to know. And listen, I'm going to tell you this too. If you just post it on Facebook, that's not calling on the elders of the church. Do you want to be made well? Because here's the answer right here. It says, is any among you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. But you have to call. You have to come up. You know, people say, I don't always like, you know, I mean, I don't mind having people up front, you know, to pray and stuff like that. I don't mind that. But man, you should be calling. You shouldn't have to wait for one of the elders of the church to be standing up there for you to think that it's okay to get prayer. You should just come and ask. You say, hey, pastor, I need you to pray over me. I haven't been feeling well. Call, because here's your guarantee. Here's the promise. If you call on the elders of the church, if they anoint you with oil and they pray the prayer of faith over you, which I guarantee I will, the Bible says that you'll be healed. And if you've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. I believe this is true. I believe that if you're suffering in any area of your life, if you'll just begin to pray. Well, how long do I need to pray, Pastor? Until it passes. Until you can do what I'm going to talk about today. Until you can get up, what I'm going to talk about today. Until you can get up and know that God is heard you pray, that's how long you should pray, until you know that God's heard you. If we can, in verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another so that you may gossip and tell everyone else in the church. That's not what it says. Confess your trespasses one to another so that you may pray for one another and that you may be healed. Now, here's where we're going to talk about what kind of prayer we want to be praying. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You didn't make this impossible. This is not going to be an impossible task for us. He prayed earnestly. That's with a lot of zest. Earnest. That it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. If Elijah is like us, what did he do that we can do also? Because I like the part where it says Elijah is like me. Because I would hate to think that Elijah was much better than me. Because then I couldn't really make it not rain or make it rain in my own life. I couldn't really call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to do things in my life if I was less qualified than Elijah. But it's nice to know that he's just like me. That Elijah, if you study the life of Elijah, he has moments where, man, he's like, pour more water on it, calling down the fire from heaven to burn up the offering. Put more water on it, he says. Put more water. His faith is so strong. Put more water on it in front of all the prophets of Baal. Put more water on it. Calls down the fire of heaven, and poof, there it goes. And then within a couple of days, he's running like a little girl. Like a sissy. He's running like a sissy out to underneath some tree going, God, I'm the only one left. Where is everybody? Oh, man. Because some queen is trying to cut his head off. Because why? Because he's a man of like nature like us, where there's moments of heights and there's moments of low. And, you know, and that's why I like this whole verse, because, see, it says, listen, if you can pray and see your deliverance, then pray and see your deliverance. Because God says you have the power to pray and see your deliverance. But if you don't, then you get off your tail and you go find an elder in the church and you tell him to anoint you with oil so that you can be healed and saved and set free. Corporate prayer. If you can't do it on your own, then get some group together and pray till you see the fire from heaven come down and transform things. So what did Elijah do? Deuteronomy chapter 11 is where we find the promise of the judgment of God's people. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 and 17 says, "Take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord anger be aroused against you and shut up the heavens so that there be no rain and the land yield no produce and you perish quickly from the good of the land which the Lord has given you." There's the promise that if you're disobedient. But what would prompt Elijah to pray this judgment on God's people? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33. "And Ahab," who's the king at that time, "Ahab made a wooden idol. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." The people were not serving God. They had turned from God. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. "And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitant of Galilee, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" He prayed, nothing. No rain. Chapter 18, verse 36. "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word.'" This is 3 years, 6 months later. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me." And I'll talk about that in significance in just a few minutes. But listen, but he says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." "And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.' So they seized him, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kinesh and executed them here," or there. Then 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.'" So in other words, they turned their hearts back. He came back to the Lord, and now Elijah's going to pray and allow the rain to come. But before he prays to allow the rain to come, he tells the king, "Go ahead, go start eating. It's time to start eating, time to have a feast." So Ahab went up and to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go and look toward the sea." And he went up and looked, and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." This is earnest, persistent prayer. Elijah, like us, got on his face, began to pray, and he kept saying, "Go back, go back." And then it came to pass, the seventh time he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go and say to Ahab, 'Prepare his chariot and go down before the rain stops you.'" And it happened in the meantime that the sky began to blacken with clouds and winds, and there was a heavy rain. Elijah prayed the word of God, and God heard him. He didn't He didn't decide, oh, well, you know, I think I'm going to punish God's people. He prayed the word of God. The people acted wrong. The word of God said, if you're going to act wrong, this is how it's going to be. When they turned their hearts back, he prayed, and God heard his prayer. He continued to pray until God heard his prayer. And then he saw a hand, a cloud as big as a hand out on the horizon. He said, okay, that's it. That means it's coming. We're good. He didn't wait till it started raining. He just said, okay, I see it's coming. Let's go. Go warn them. It's about to happen. It's going to start raining. Now, Jesus tells us in the New Testament, in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus tells us exactly the conditions he requires for us appropriating any of the blessings of his promises. He says, therefore, this is Jesus, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That is, you will have them after you believe he has heard your prayer. Once you believe God's heard your prayer, you will have them. In John 11, 41, Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, while Lazarus was still dead. So we should be able to say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, while we're still afflicted, while we're going through whatever we're going through. We should be able to get to a place in our prayer where we can say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And then the answer that we're waiting to hear is from the Word of God, and that is, you will have them. That's the answer from Jesus. When you believe he's heard you, you will have them. And that's the answer from Jesus. That is a proof to our prayer. That's the hand in the cloud. That's the hand-sized cloud that sits out there. You will have them. And you know, okay, the answer's on its way. To faith, the word of God is the voice of God. You cannot rely on anything except for the Word of God. We've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. He has not promised us our deliverance will begin until after we believe that he has heard our prayers. In 1 John chapter 14, 15 and 15 tells us this. Let's start with verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. If we ask according to his will, he hears. So what is the will of God? The word of God. Elijah prayed the will of God. The word of God. He didn't step outside and say, hey, I think it would be a great time for it not to rain. I think it would be a great time for a 3.5-year fast. He didn't say that. He said, listen, this is what God's word said. God's word said, if you're disobedient, you guys are in big trouble. I'm just telling you, he's enacting that clause right now. Because you're not serving him. He's angry at you. So he's enacting that. And then he prayed again, and then it began to rain. Because they turned their hearts back to God. So if this is true, then believe your prayer has been answered when you really pray. That's when your prayer is answered, when you really pray. And when you pray the Word of God. See, to really pray, you have to pray the Word of God. There's a scripture that talks about, you know, why does God not hear us? Because we pray amiss. We pray without knowing what we're praying. We're just praying whatever we think is right. See, that will never give you the confidence to believe that your prayer is being heard if you're praying your way. Pray his way. Pray his word. Search out the scriptures. Find the word of God that promises those things for you, that gives you the confidence to know that God has heard you because you have prayed the word of God, and now the word of God says back to you, you will have it because you have prayed God's word. You have prayed the will of God into your life. You know what the word of God says. You have prayed it for your own life. And so therefore, then we must come to a place where we're able to say verse 15. And if we know that he has heard us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. So we know God will answer our prayers if we're praying the will of God. If I'm praying God's word, then I will know that God has heard me, and I will know that God will answer me because I prayed his word. I know it's not rocket science. He doesn't make this difficult. He says, know the word of God, pray the word of God. Those that know me, I will honor. Those that know me, I will deliver. Those that know my word, I will deliver. Those that have come after me, I will deliver them. When we come to him, he honors those that come after him. Not because we've seen the answer, but because he who has called us is faithful, who will also do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. God is faithful. So here's something I want us to understand, because this came to me this week, and I absolutely believe this is the key to this whole thing. And here it is. The promise is the answer. The promise is the answer, because God cannot lie and is faithful. That's how we can believe the answer before it manifests, because we have the promise. As believers, we don't need the answer because we have the promise. For a believer, the promise is the guarantee of the answer. See, too often, this is how we pray. We pray, and when we get the answer, we believe. We pray, and we say, oh God, please move in my life. And then he moves, and then we go, now I have faith because God moved. See, the sign is not, okay, the sign is the answer, okay? But for the believer, the sign doesn't do anything to our faith. Why? Because we have the promise, and the promise itself is the answer, because God is faithful. If God has promised it, he will answer it. Does that make sense? See, we always think, okay, I found the promise, now I have to wait for the answer. Not true. The way that you can believe God, the way that he says in Matthew chapter 24, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. How do you believe that you have them before you receive them? How do you do that? Because you have the promise. And that's all you need. Because the promise is greater than the answer. Because the promise is the answer. Because it's going to be answered. It can't. That's why every promise in the Word of God is yes and amen. Because he's not going to break his word. He can't. It's impossible for him to break his word. So all we have to have is the promise. I don't need the answer, I just need the promise. Because what lies in the promise and my faith in the promise is the answer. That's how I can believe that I'm healed before I'm healed, because I have the promise of being healed. That's how I can believe that I'm prosperous and victorious in my financial situation, because I have the promise of that before I have the answer for that. I can believe for God's prosperity in my life. I can believe for God's healing in my life. I can believe for God's peace in my life. I can believe for God's mercy and grace in my life because I have the promise of it. And the answer is a guarantee. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. And this is how it works in every area of our lives. God is faithful. I don't believe in a God who is not faithful. I do not believe in a God who does not love me and care for me. Now I'm going to read a scripture to you. And it's going to sound strange, But in light of what we now understand, I hope we understand, that it is the promise that we seek. We seek after God's promises, and we pray the promises of God for our lives, and we have the answer within the promise, okay? But let me read this scripture, because I think this is really, hopefully this will open it up, because it did for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, man. God has promised the answer for everything we have need of. Now, regardless, listen, none of us go through anything that is not common to man. We all go through different struggles, addictions. We all have certain things that we struggle in our addictions with. We all have areas of sin in our lives that tempt us to draw us away from God. We all have tragedies that happen in our lives that try to draw us away from God. These things are attacks from the enemy to draw you away from God. These are temptations on the enemy's part to say that your God is not faithful. These are temptations on his part. And you can put anything you want into the area of temptation here. These are temptations that try to lure you from your faithful God. But you have a faithful God who at the same time as the temptation comes, just like Jesus when he was on the mountain, and for 40 days he was tempted just as we are tempted. As soon as the temptation came, the word of God came to him immediately to answer the temptation. My God is faithful. He's going to deliver me from this. My God is faithful. He has delivered me from this. The Psalms that we read, he's right there with us in the time of trouble. Right there in the midst of trouble with us to deliver us and to set us free, to bring honor into our own lives and to change us and transform us and lift us up. God is faithful. And no, regardless of the temptation that comes into our lives, the sin that tries to enter into our lives, the tragedy that tries to enter into our lives, our God is faithful. And right with that tragedy comes the word of God sweeping in to our lives, comes right in and makes a way for us to escape into his promise of peace, of mercy, and grace. We escape into his promise. We enter into his word, where he gives us a promise to deliver us from whatever temptation is coming against us. He gives us a promise that he's going to deliver us into his hand and into his peace, and that we will be able to bear whatever burdens, whatever weapons that have been formed against us, they will not prosper in our lives. Why? Because we have a promise from God, and he is faithful. Not because I see the answers, but because I see the promise. I see the promise of God. Though this earth go darker and darker, I see within me a light that burns brighter and brighter. Because the power of God is being more and more manifested in me than it is in this world. And so I have a promise that no matter how dark this world gets, the light of God will bring me through. Because I have a promise. He is faithful. To learn how to believe God hears us when we pray is a much greater blessing than the answer itself. Because then the prayer of faith can be repeated and our whole life can be spent obtaining the fulfillment of divine promises. God's promises are to be manifested in our lives because we believe in them, because we're beginning to pray the prayer of faith, because we found the promise of God. And the promise of God for your salvation, for your deliverance, for you being no longer held captive is all in the Word of God. Every promise that He's made is yes and amen to you, because the promises of God are for us who believe, who have turned away from our wicked ways and turned to Him and said, God, here we are. Broken, beaten up, but we know that you can restore. God comes to restore. He promises to come to restore. He promises to come give you peace. He promises to lead you beside still waters into green pastures. He promises to do these things. There's like 3,200 promises in the Word of God. And He promises to do them all for us. If we will only believe, if we'll only believe in the promise, because in the promise is the answer. That's how you believe. Because all you need is a promise. Imagine with me that you had a friend so faithful, so absolutely true to his word, that whatever you asked him, he would give you. Wouldn't you ask? Would you doubt? Would you doubt? If he said, listen, whatever you want, I have all the money in the world. I have all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I have all that that your heart would desire. I have it all. Wouldn't you at least ask? Wouldn't you come up to him and say, hey, listen, you know, I could use a house. And then would it surprise you when he got it for you? I need a car. Would it surprise you when you got it? See, he's not unfaithful. Well, Pastor, are you saying that the will of God for my life is to have a car and a house? No. Might be. It's his promise to provide for you and to meet your needs. Do you need a car? Do you need a house? Do you need clothes? Do you need food? Do you need these things? Because God's word provides for those things. Do you need a healing touch in your body? Because God's word says, I'll heal you. Do you need your salvation? Because God says, I'll provide it. Do you need deliverance from something that's grabbed a hold of your life? Because he said he would. See, to know the promise is the answer. And to pray the promise is the answer. Search the Word of God. Find the answers or the promises for your life. And you'll have the answers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says this. And I'll close with this. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, I always crack up because people always want to know what the will of God is for their life. I think I preached on this one time. This will keep you busy for the rest of your life. Right here. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. That'll keep you busy for a long time. Just trying to do those three things for the rest of your life. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. I imagine tomorrow will start your day, or actually, as soon as you leave here, will probably start your day of difficulty. To rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks. That's the will of God. And you know why? You know what the wonderful thing about praying without ceasing is? Is if you're praying the promises of God, you're just praying for the divine promises of God for your own life. And then they begin to happen. Why? Because you pray. Because you ask God. And He begins to do things in your life. Well, shouldn't I be doing things, Pastor? Yeah, rejoice. Pray. Give thanks. There's a good start right there. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love You and we thank You. Thank You for this time that we can gather together and study Your Word. I pray, God, that You'd continue to work in our hearts and our lives, that You'd minister to us and bless us, oh God. We thank You for Your promises, how precious they are, God. That we would not take advantage of these promises, or that we would take advantage of these promises, God. That we would begin to speak them into our lives. That we would begin to just to pray and believe and trust and have our faith in the promise. God, You are faithful to answer the promise. And God, we give You praise, we give You glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you want to know Him as your Savior, you just slip your hand up. We want to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just give You praise. We give You glory. We ask that You just minister to everyone here as some get ready to prepare the food, that You would just bless that food, and as we eat it later, that it would be a blessing to us. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we are able to feed on Your Word today and be challenged by Your Word. God, we just give You praise. We give You glory. We thank You for it in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.